So let's meditate. What do you say? Yay, take a breath. Put your hard hats on. We're going in. You never know what might happen, what might be revealed, but expect great things. There's something coming into your mind, into your experience. So breathe gently, easily. I would say breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. I always start my meditations with, the Christ in me is awake now. For what is the Christ? Not a person, not a religion. It's an awakening, or it's actually the awakened mind. So imagine, if you will, there's an aspect in you that is fully awakened, partly awakened, and the rest is on its way. The Christ in me is awake now. Those of you who care to, would you affirm that with me? The Christ in me is awake now. I have great expectations for my thoughts today. I have great expectations for my words today. Because I trust that my past has brought me to this magnificent moment. This moment I did not exactly expect. I always expect a wonderful moment, but I hadn't quite expected this moment. There's a great stirring of love. There's a great stirring of peace and joy. There's a great opportunity for wisdom and understanding. Right here, right now. I expect a wonderful awakening. As the song says, something's coming and something's good. So let's take a trip within and call forth that something good that God has in store for us. Here we are, and we are listening. Let's go on in. Take another breath and accept something has just taken place, whether we are aware of it or not, and that something is good. For as God is for us, nothing could be against us. So let us become glad we've taken this time to be quiet, to look within, and to know while we can't be specific of what has just taken place, we know it has just taken place. So in that assurance, let's start our journey back here. Back here to this sanctuary, this place called unity. As we come back, let us come back fully, fully conscious of the good that has just taken place. And so it is. Amen. So Karen Mason, it'd be lovely if you came up. Britt, do you have the black mic there? Let's have that. That's the one she sound checked with.
You do?
get the red one?
I did.
Oh, I thought Paul had that.
No, because it looked good with my outfit.
It does.
The air is humming, and something great is coming. Could be. Something to any day, I will know right away, soon as it shows. It may come cannonballing down from the sky, gleaming its eye bright as a rose. Who knows? It's only just out of reach down the block on a beach under a tree. I've got a feeling there's a miracle due, gonna come true, coming to me. Could it be? Yes, it could. Something's coming, something good. If I can wait, something's coming. I don't know what it is, but it is gonna be great. With a click, with a shock, phone will jingle, door will knock, open the latch. Something's coming, don't know when, but it's soon. Catch the moon, one-handed catch. Around that corner, or whistling down the river. Come on, deliver to me. Will it be? Yes, it will. Maybe just by holding still, it will be there. Come on, someone, come on in. Don't be shy. Meet a guy. Pull up a chair. The air is humming, and something great.
Show came out on Broadway the first time.
Yeah, it was 83.
Really?
Yeah, for the opening of Don't Come Home.
Brian heard songs in ways that nobody else did. Paul, your mic is here in case we get confused later. I'll probably hand it to you. So today's talk is called Step Into the Light. Props, we got props. Oh, it's crazy. Crazy. So, yeah, but I, you know, for the literalists in the house, Step Into the Light. And then I have this at home. See if you can do this one. Anybody a cat here? You know, my cats want to step into this light and they keep missing. And
there you go.
Yeah, there we go. Jump into it. Jump. Step into the light. Well, I heard the next song that Karen's going to sing that Paul wrote, and that's what made me decide on today's talk. Once they said they would sing today. Step into the light, because light, you can't really talk about light too many times in spirituality. The light, it's the light. You know, we grew up, some of us grew up hearing, I am the light. I am the light. And to me, what it means, because I'm the light, that's not any kind of blasphemy. You're the light. You're the light. You're the light. Any time we help another to see things in a lighter way. Because what is the light except the opportunity to see, to reveal what's there? I don't think I'm giving away any secrets here. There's no spiritual true revelations in that. I go into a room at night and I flip a switch. And the light goes on, and I see my living room. From there, I start to see what's in the living room. Now, here's the thing. When I flip that switch, I have no real idea where it's flowing through in the building to suddenly make a light bulb go on. But I trust that when I flip that switch, there's a bulb going on somewhere, and I'm going to see better. And if the bulb doesn't go on, I'm very confused. Isn't that just the most daunting thing? The light didn't work. Where's the light? Oh, it must be in the closet there in a bin, and I gotta pull one out and go and unscrew it. And then suddenly I feel like the source of the light when I put it back in. Oh, look what I did. I turned on the light. It's no longer that it comes from source. I am the source. And I enjoy that. And then I step into the light to either find something specific or to have something revealed that I didn't even know was there. Isn't that why we get together with each other to chat and to talk? Because we're going to find out things we didn't even know were there. Our conversations reveal stuff all the time. We pick up books to have the light reveal what was in that book that we didn't know was there. Even if you've read it before, I guarantee you that author has climbed into your house at night and rewritten it. I always say that about Myrtle Fillmore's book, How to Let God Help You. Every time you read it, it's a new book. Lessons in Truth, Emily Cady. Every time you read it, it's a new book. Certainly the Bible, A Course in Miracles, Inner Voice, all that stuff. Every time you read it, it's a new book because there are things there you didn't see before. And David, the thought exchange, dear Lord, you can't possibly grasp that the first time through. So you have to go back and read it again and again. Say, oh, one day David got this message from a spiritual mentor of his, and it was this amazing quote. David said, that's great. Where did that come from? And she said, oh, The Thought Exchange by David Friedman. He had no idea he had written that. So clearly, he snuck into her house at night unconsciously and rewrote the book. And thank goodness. Thank goodness. New revelations. The light reveals so much. And then we go, oh, but I don't want to know that. And we turn the light off. I didn't want to know that. And we pull the cord until we're ready. And then we pull the cord again. And the light goes on. And I say, oh. And then we act like we just wrote it ourselves. Do you believe this amazing thing? Well, yes, we've all read it many times. Thank you. You don't have to keep telling us. You know, you didn't invent spiritual truth. Not one of us did. We did not invent spiritual truth. Spiritual truth always existed. And it's been in the ethers forever. Even if it's a newly published book or whatever, writing something, it's always been here. And so it's why we can say, I am the light. that's not reserved for just religious figures in history. I am the light. How do I know that? Because I see light. If I can see it, I must be it. And that's where we get into troubles, when we start saying, oh, this is bad. Because you see, if I see bad, I must be bad. How could I recognize bad if I weren't it? That's why we need to start renaming things. You know, no more bad weather. There is weather. And then I am weather, and it changes. And then it switches, but it's not, I'm not bad weather. The weather's always one of the best examples I can think of. It's like criticizing somebody's clothes. Don't do it. Years ago, I learned that I saw somebody in the subway that looked like they had just come from clown college. And I was about to criticize them. I said, wait a minute, that person's me. I don't want to say anything not negative. And I thought, that guy is so creative. And suddenly, I enjoyed him. I appreciated him and his choice in things. And I realized I have no power to actually judge. None at all. And neither do you. And it grinds me sometimes when people try. They look at me and say, well, that's brave. The brave outfit show. Really? I think it's creative. I think it's lovely. I you know, it's at least they can't criticize my hair. and you know, God's work being done. And so to look at all this stuff, we have so many judgments, and many of us have created enemies on earth. Anybody? And the enemies in your mind on earth? On the whole, oh no, I love everyone. I'm a lone name. You want to love everybody. I believe that. I believe every one of us wants to love everybody. We wish maybe we could like everybody. But people do things that push triggers in us. You know, and so it's like, oh, okay, I'll settle for not liking you today, but maybe I could also not talk about you today. Maybe I could not criticize you, whoever you is in the world today. Stop calling people names. It doesn't help. It doesn't help you to recognize the Christ in yourself, the awakened being. And it certainly turns out the light. And just because I've turned out the light doesn't mean the light is gone. Does not mean that the light does not exist. I just haven't turned it on. Click. Now there's light. When I say, Spirit, I want to know what this really is. And I know I preach this a lot, but it's the best prayer that I know. It is the most effective prayer I have found. Spirit, show me this as it is, not as my story is telling it. Because I'm going to make up a story about everything. Everything. Hello. I hear myself echoing. Because I am such a strong minister that I project. But it's become painful to be the judge and the jury and the guards watching over what I have condemned. And it's painful to me because I'm really not up to the task. It's inauthentic to think that I am a valid judge. I think it's better to go within and say, whatever God is, does it judge this? Or does God just love whatever is underneath it? And the rest is just behavior that I have forgotten, and the more I talk about it, the more it happens. I have discovered that when I resist people's behaviors, the more they do it. We are called unity. That doesn't limit it to just the people that come to this church. Unity does not limit it to the people who come to other unity churches. Although I have seen a lot of people in unity churches not very unified. Come to a summit, of Unity Ministers. And you will see some stuff going on, and you say, were they actually ordained as a Unity minister? Did they ever take a class? Or did somebody say, oh, I think I like you, let's ordain you? I have seen, one of my favorites, it lasted about 2-3 years, was the debate, are we Christian? Are we Christian? And it's like, well, yes and no. And that's what it comes down to. If you think we are, then we are. If you think we aren't, we aren't. We don't have that strong of a stance on it. Because everybody has a different idea of what Christianity is and what Christian is. One would think that most Christians would at least be kind. Well, they are till you disagree.
Yes.
And it's nothing, but it's the truth. And it's like, well, I don't want that light. Turn that light off, because I want to be over here being right. Because somehow I find solace in being right, for a minute at least. And then it's like, well, it's very lonely being right. Because even your friends will eventually turn on you. Or at least say, I can't talk right now, I've got to go. They won't turn on you, but they'll turn away from you. Because they want to go over here and turn the light back on. Have you ever had a time you called a friend to about another friend, and they don't have time to talk to you about it? It's like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. Because at least for me, I say, oh, they don't want to go to that place. They love me, and when I first came into Unity, my friend Joy, she and I used to go to lunch every Tuesday after the noon class at Unity over on 58th Street. Paul was teaching it. And we had our class. I was brand new to Unity. And Joy and I, well, she was fairly new to Unity, but she was very much in tune with new thought and healing and what have you. And she and I would go to the Chinese restaurant on 8th Avenue, and we'd have lunch. And one day, I was prattling on about somebody. And she said, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I thought, I am playing Monopoly with somebody who won't roll the dice. And I thought, oh, she doesn't want to participate in that, but she loves me so much, she's not going to criticize me for doing it. She's not doing cancel, cancel, cancel. She wasn't afraid of my negativity. It didn't threaten her at all. And so she let me wind down. And then we went on with our meal. We are still good friends. We were ordained together in the interfaith. And but I learned that day, oh, not everybody wants to play along with what's not real. Here's what's not real, hate. Hate is not real. Boy, it feels real, but it's not. Because with a different thought, disappears. I don't have a big snapper. But it's with a different thought, it just disappears. There's no more hate. With a new thought, how about that? We now have the power to eliminate hate. Cut it off. Ask Spirit, I need a new thought on this, please. And the highest mind in you, which is Spirit, will give you a new thought on it. And there's the light. Now you're back in the light. Now you're back in wisdom and understanding, which is another form of light. And so to interrupt those conversations, during COVID, there was a lot of those conversations. People were at home too much with their own mind, telling themselves a story and then telling themselves it was true. And we began to scare ourselves. And then David pointed out something to me, because a couple of friends, I thought, oh, I don't want to talk to these people anymore. He said, Sean, they're scared. And they need to express their fear. I thought, okay, they're my friends. I need to let them do it for a limited amount of time, and then I could change the subject. Now, it's hard for me to switch over to, how about those Yankees? But sometimes I would do it. How about those Yankees? And the subject would change. And nobody got to be judged. And nobody had to be suppressed. And we can move on. and I could continue to love my friends. Because isn't that important? The most important thing, we don't have to agree to love one another. Unless, you find somebody who really wants to slam you with their thoughts and their fears, and you say, I'm not up to this conversation. I don't want to judge you. I don't want to be a part of it. Will that be a problem? And then you negotiate where you are currently in your friendship, but not in your spirituality. You see, in spirit, we are all loved. In spirit, the light is always turned on. In spirit, there's no absence of good. In spirit, spirit's not this person sitting up there, although I sometimes personify it. Because, you need a buddy. And so I will ask as if it's a person. But really, I'm really asking is myself. When I ask for anything in prayer, I'm always asking myself, am I willing to have it today? And it's funny how often I might say, not today. I'm going to stay with my misery, but thank you. And that's why this word light works for me so well. Because I can't personify light. It's light is light. And what does it imply except it's something that is either on or needs the switch to be flipped in order for me to see things as they are. Now, I understand. I turn on the light in the living room. I'm not seeing the living room as it actually is. I'm seeing it as I tell myself to see it. But in spiritual light, I'm seeing it in a way that is indescribable. Therefore, I can't limit it. I cannot limit the light of spirit. Because how can you describe it? But I can trust that I am seen and I am being shown. And then I go on about my business. If I trust, I am loved in spirit. And then I get to work about those ones I was having conversations about in COVID and after COVID and what have you, my whole life maybe. But I can go to those and say, okay, there's light for these people too. And there's love for these people too. I may not know how to do it automatically, but I can pray to be shown. And that's when I discover my willingness level. Am I willing to love those I have judged? And that's not about going to lunch. That's about love. Am I willing, and I've said this so many times here at Unity of New York, am I willing that all beings be happy, joyous, and free? And then I'll go in and ask, okay, how willing am I? And I'll get guidance as to the measure. I don't judge the measure. I look and say, okay, this is where on a 1 to 10, but I'm on a 3, I'm a 4, I'm a -2. I look at that and say, okay, that's where I happen to be today with this. Doesn't make God less, doesn't make those people less, doesn't make me less. But if I shift, I will suddenly become, here's pun intended, lighter. When I am lighter in my mind, I see differently and I become more willing. I notice where I have shifted the most, and David has noticed this when I'm driving. I don't judge like I did the other drivers because there's no payoff that I really want. Somebody pushes me out of the way in one way or another, it scares me. Okay, that's what they did. I don't like it. It jolts me. But I don't start wishing they would have a car accident to learn a lesson. I don't start wishing a relative were sick and they're on their way to the hospital. Isn't that a good one? When we do that one, well, maybe there's an emergency and they have to get to the hospital for something. That's not loving. That's lousy lemonade for some lousy lemons. But if I say, okay, I'm willing to hear what they're actually up to, and I'm willing to have what I'm thinking revealed to me, that maybe, this is my opportunity to learn about love, to learn about peace and about joy, to learn and discover. I'm going to read a couple of things to us all here. because it's good stuff. Oh, I want to read this. This is the metaphysical meaning of light. It says, the understanding principle in mind. In divine order, it always comes first into consciousness. Light is a symbol of wisdom. When Jesus said, I am the light of the world, he meant that he was the expressor of truth in all its aspects. Wouldn't you like to do that? Wouldn't you like to be that consciousness, that I am the expressor of truth in all aspects, rather than picking and choosing which ones I want to express? Oh, I'll express it to the nice people. I don't want to be bothered with everyone. So let's listen to this. It's from the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. This is John chapter 10, verse 22, when it says, how is it that I am known? I am the light. This is Holy Spirit speaking. I am the light, and so I carry with me the characteristics of the light. See, to me, when I read things like that, I can take on confidence. I am the light. I like it. I am the light, the characteristics of the light, and only the characteristics of the light. You will not find fear in me, meaning spirit. You will only find love. You will not find attack and war. You will only find peace. You will not find guilt or accusation. You will find only sweet forgiveness that sees that which is meaningless as meaningless and asks it to take on no meaning. You can trust my voice because you recognize it as yours and know it as yours. It may be it's your voice, but it's an unfamiliar voice. But keep listening, you'll recognize it. Next, we have from John chapter 12. And it's, where'd it go? Where did you go? You said, where did it go? Oh, when you place, oh, I love this. When you place your focus with the fog and the shadow, you do not see the light that shines within the fog. And beyond the shadow, you see that which you have chosen to see, and yet you miss that which is there. This is an important spiritual lesson. Take responsibility for what you see. Take accountability. If I am seeing the shadow and insisting on maintaining the shadow, I'm choosing for that. Now some will argue, but it's there. Is it? Is it, or have I made it up? There have been so many times I have insisted in my life that some piece of good is missing. I have this ring, not this one, but it's not a small ring. And several years ago, I had been doing some gardening, which that was the one day I did gardening. I'm going to be very clear here. And then I went to the church, I was doing my work then, and that afternoon, I couldn't find the ring. And I was sure, actually, that I had left it on my nightstand. And I couldn't find the ring. And I went out and looked in the dirt, didn't see it there. I said, who took it? Who took my ring? It was only David and me at home that day. I had a few people in my, did they sneak into the house and take that ring? Because the ring was gone and I was convinced it was gone. A few months later, I was redoing the stage, the pulpit at the church. And I pulled this planter out of a big planter. There was my ring at the bottom of it. It had fallen off and I didn't notice. But I had convinced myself my ring was gone. I have to pay attention to that. When I choose to see the fog, the shadows, it accommodates me. My good is absent. Yes, I love you. Your good is absent. I'm so ugly. Yes, I love you. You're so ugly. Now, everybody else is looking at you thinking you're beautiful, but you look in the mirror and can't see it. Got to pay attention. Start affirming every day, hi, God, I am beautiful, aren't I? I am irresistible in the light. Show me how to keep the light on in my consciousness. So next. John chapter 21, it says, when you have given yourself fully to the Spirit shall be fully within you. This is not a change at all, for this is as it has always been, but in your sleep you do not know. So the realization of your truth is but an awakening from a sleep in which you thought one thing was true when it was not. Again, I thought the ring was gone. It was not. There have been many things in my life I thought were gone, and they were not. And that includes some people I thought were finally gone, and then they showed up in new bodies. I'd say, oh, I thought we were done. And then they went and showed up again. I thought, oh, come on, what else do I have to do to heal this? What do I have to do? I thought, scram. And then I had to heal. I had to start seeing them differently. I had to start seeing the behaviors differently. It was a big job. And now I'm completely done. One other one back. Where'd you go? Where did you go? We may have to let this one go, because I don't remember. It doesn't matter. We'll let it go. Yesterday, I heard a man say, pay attention to what you're paying attention to. I know, isn't that a good one? Pay attention to what you're paying attention to, and then you might see why your life is the way it is. So for some, it's like, my life is fabulous, because this is what I'm... If you use that word, but anyway, that's what I'm paying attention to. My life is horrible. Perhaps that's because that's what I'm paying attention to. I'm staying sick because I pay attention to sickness. I get well because I start paying attention to wellness. I'm poor because I pay attention to poorness. I'm getting richer and richer because I'm paying attention to being richer and the riches that are available. And not everybody's riches is in cash, but it's the cash equivalent, I guarantee you. And so to pay attention, though, what am I paying attention to? I want to pay attention to that. Spirit, show me. Let me step into the light and see. Let me see the light that shines off of every being, every candle in this place. And that's what we all are, aren't we? We are candles reflecting. And it shimmers like this. It's no clear line. It's no solid thing. It, that energy, it quivers like the wick of a candle. And so I look at you guys, and I say, oh, you guys are me. And then I say, I am you. And it's all flickering. So we cannot limit each other to a definition. We cannot limit each other. And then you get, what was that, sketch, what's that, sketch? Etch-a-sketch. And you get this beautiful, perfect thing, and then somebody drops it. Oh, no! There's my image I had. Everybody I know has changed since I met them. Anybody? Have you had that experience? They've changed. Some of my best friends have changed. They have new beliefs. They have a new look. They do redo their hair. They do whatever. Everybody I know has changed. I still have to hold them in the light. I'm obligated to hold them and myself in the light so that I can see that their physical makeup has changed, their beliefs have changed, everything they do and think and say has changed. Not for the bad necessarily, but it's different. And so I don't feel as secure with some of my friends. My job, my responsibility to go within and ask, show me my friend so that I can love them. And sometimes it's good to keep distance until you can, but insist it's possible. Again, today, Karen's saying about something's coming. Now, it's not about living in the future. It's about being present. That I'm always in my good and on my way to my next good. And now I'm in this good. And now I'm on my way to this next good. So something good is always coming. And something good has always been here. Ask for light on both. Karen and Paul, I invite you to come back up. And hear this wonderful song that Paul wrote.
Yeah, thank you. I do. And I'm going to use the lectern and look official.
Thank you.
Mind check.
There you go.
Paul doesn't need this because he wrote it. This. All right. You can see the glow in every child's eye, rejoicing in the miracle of holy light, shining like a beacon in the sky. So come walk with me and talk with me and take me by the Ray, thank you.